Welcome to Uncomplicating Weight Loss and Life. I'm your host, Eva Rodriguez, former HR executive turned holistic life, health, and weight loss coach. In this podcast, I'll teach you how to lose weight without dieting, how to exercise to burn fat and reshape your body, and how to lose the mental and emotional weight that keeps you stuck. My life has given me lots of twists, turns, and traumas, but instead of defeating me, it's made me strong as fuck. I've been able to turn my hot mess into a fiery message that if I can transform my health and my life, so can you. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I've been wanting to do this episode for a while now because I think it's something that a lot of people who maybe are not in the coaching or mental health world may not be familiar with, and that is the very important method used in coaching and in mental health as trauma-informed and trauma-sensitive. You may see these words used by coaches, therapists, social workers, even yoga and breathwork teachers. When it comes to trauma, I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, there's big T trauma and little T trauma. Big T trauma is distinguished as an extraordinary and significant event that leaves the individual feeling powerless and possessing little control in their environment. Such events could take the form of a natural disaster, terrorist attack, sexual assault, combat, a car accident or plane accident, abuse of any kind, things of that nature. The feeling of helplessness is a key factor of big T trauma. Little T traumas are events that exceed our capacity to cope and cause a disruption in our emotional functioning. These distressing events are not inherently life-threatening or body integrity threatening, but have been described as ego-threatening due to the individual being left feeling helpless. Some of these examples include interpersonal conflict, for example, breaking up with a friend, breaking up with a lover, issues where you don't speak with your family members, infidelity, divorce, abrupt or extended relocation, legal troubles, financial struggles. All of this can cause little T trauma. Little T traumas tend to be overlooked by the individual who's experienced the trauma. This is sometimes due to the tendency to rationalize the experience as common and therefore shame ourselves for any reaction that could be construed as an overreaction or being dramatic. Sometimes these traumas can even be overlooked by mental health professionals, and that is why this topic is so important. Because if you've experienced trauma in any capacity, big T or little T, and someone tries to tell you that you're being dramatic or that you're overreacting, that can cause so much harm. And that is exactly why I'm recording this episode today. Most of my clients have had both big T and little T traumas. I once heard someone say that high achievers become high achievers as a trauma response. And that has always resonated so deeply with me. My neuro-linguistic programming certification, NLP for short, was a trauma-informed certification. So I am a trauma-informed coach. And as the universe tends to work in its clever ways, I had a very poor experience with a coach who was not trauma-informed, not trauma-sensitive, not trauma-aware at the same time that I was getting my NLP certification. So I was unfortunately able to experience this firsthand. So hopefully, this story that I'm about to tell you will prevent you from experiencing something like this. So if you're a longtime listener, then you know that I have what I like to call an advisory board of coaches. I have a coach for every area of my life. That is how much I believe in the transformational power of coaching and having a solid coaching team supporting you, especially when you're doing big things, when you're running a business, when you're raising a child by yourself, when you're having to be creative and also strategic at the same time. It takes a lot out of me as an individual. And then I also need to be able to be there for my clients and not let any of the shit that I deal with behind the scenes affect the clients that I serve. I mean, there have been so many times when I have just finished crying my eyes out and then I have 5 minutes to get my shit together and get ready for my client call. Some days are really hard for me, but I love my clients so much and they give me life. And some days when I'm having my worst days, just being in the Zoom room and holding space for my client is therapeutic and healing for me. But it's so important to be a product of your product, right? So if you've been listening for a while, you know I have a lot of coaches, you know this already. And if you've been listening for a while, you probably know a thing or two about my past dating woes. Something I used to say often, and I don't say this anymore because I know that words have power, but I used to say, I've just always been unlucky when it comes to men. I've always been unlucky when it comes to love. I do not say that anymore, but I used to firmly believe that, and I used to say it often. So I hired a dating coach last year. And had you told me that I was going to spend a significant amount of money on a dating coach, even a year ago, I would have told you, you've lost your fucking mind. But around my birthday time, I always get very reflective and introspective and all that. I shared a story about what happened on my 40th birthday a few episodes ago. So this past birthday, I had a moment where I said to myself, you know what? I know I keep saying I'm okay if I'm alone forever. I'm okay if I, you know, never get married. I know I keep saying these things, but it would actually be really nice to have a partner. It would be really nice if I could find someone that I could share my life with. And if it could just be uncomplicated, if it could just be different, if it could just be right. And sometimes we have to get to that place where either the pain point is so strong or the urgency is so strong that you decide, you know what, I need help with this. And there's no shame in that. I've had people apply to work with me and I know that they're not ready to do the work that we do. And I can usually tell when their why isn't compelling. I can usually tell when they're indecisive about a lot of things. I can usually tell this person's probably not ready for the deep transformational coaching that I offer. I always say this is so much deeper than what should I eat and what should I do at the gym. We do a lot of healing. We do a lot of deep, deep work that is what enables my clients to lose weight and keep it off. It's what empowers them to step into their next level and to become strong, confident, resilient women. After working with so many people, I can tell when someone's just not quite ready. So no shame in that. Had I looked for a coach, you know, prior to this moment that I had with myself where I was like, I want my person, I probably either wouldn't have signed up with a coach or wouldn't have been committed to the program. So I hired this dating coach that I found. They are very well known. I am not going to share their name, but I will share my experience because I think it's really, really important. And had this happened to someone who is not a coach, who does not have the tools that I have, who does not have the education that I have, this could have been very, very detrimental. So started working with this coach. Their program promise was that you would be in a relationship within 6 months. And this coach had a very specific strategic method to navigating dating. And it was very effective. Now, here's where it got weird. This coach was really big on timelines. One in particular was something like, after 8 dates, you should be in an exclusive relationship. And if it doesn't happen, then you need to cut the man off. This person also believes that after a year or 2 years, I think, if you are not engaged, the man's not serious about you. And I understand the logic. I understand the logic behind this person's methodology and their process. I get it. I get it. I get it. But not everything is black and white. And that's where it got real sticky for me. Long, long story short, I mentioned that I've been dating a pilot since October, and I did meet him through following the steps of this program. So the program promise was delivered, right? I met my person in 6 months or less. So when I met the pilot during this process, he quickly became the top contender. We hit it off immediately. We've always felt very familiar, very comfortable with each other, never a dull moment. We make each other laugh. We have great conversations. He's very emotionally stable, which is something that's really important for me. Great guy. However, he had reservations about us moving too fast based on issues that he had in his last serious relationship, which I believe ended maybe 3 years ago. Okay, cool. I get it, right? Men have relationship trauma too. So I could absolutely understand. So when we got to date number 8 and the pilot and I had a conversation about whether or not to become a couple, basically, he was apprehensive. He just wanted a little bit more time to get to know each other. He didn't want to move too fast. He felt like he moved too fast with the last relationship and that didn't end well. You know, I mean, I get it, of course, but it didn't feel great. It felt very much like rejection, which is always where my brain goes by default. Now, even having this conversation, he was like, I'm not rejecting you. It's not that I don't want you. It's not that there's anyone else in the picture. There's none of this other stuff going on. It's just I want to make sure I'm doing this right. And I know I tend to move too fast. To be fair, I tend to move too fast too. I'm a Leo through and through, triple Leo, right? Sun, moon, rising, ascending. All of my signs are in Leo. I talk fast. I move fast. I walk fast. I'm very passionate. Everything I do is full speed ahead, right? So I understood. I shared the summary of the conversation with my coach. And my dating coach says that if the pilot doesn't make it official before New Year's Eve, then I need to cut him off. Because that means he's not serious about me and he's just wasting my time and stringing me along. So this was like the middle of December. And at this point, I'm in an emotional tizzy because I really like this guy. I'm really trying to be patient and I'm also really trying to follow my dating coach's process. So then the pressure of this New Year's Eve deadline really got to me. And I got really upset when the pilot told me that he was going to be flying on New Year's Eve weekend. Now, he didn't know that that was his deadline. I was not supposed to tell him this, and I didn't tell him this till way later. But when he said, yeah, I'll be flying this weekend, I was so in my head, based on what my coach was telling me, that I broke it off with him like 2 days before New Year's Eve via text message, which is actually how the dating coach wanted us to do breakups. Yes, via text message, with a very cold and sterile text message about no longer feeling a connection, which wasn't true. So I didn't send that. But what I did express was that it seemed he was unsure, and as a result, I needed to walk away. Girl, let me tell you, as soon as I sent that text, I started crying. It felt so wrong. And when the pilot replied, he was very kind, and I could tell he was hurt by his response, and I cried even more. And I remember telling my best friend, and she's like, are you sure that you did the right thing? And I'm like, I don't know. And so now this is where it went from bad to worse. It's New Year's Eve weekend. My heart was breaking. I couldn't stop crying. And I go back to my coach. I said, I think I've made a mistake. My intuition is telling me that this was not the right thing to do. The coach's response changed everything in that moment. And that's when I knew this coach had crossed the line and I was no longer emotionally safe in this coaching container. The coach said, no, you didn't make a mistake. That's not your intuition. That's just your trauma response. Your trauma response is to go back and convince someone that they should love you. And that's all that's happening here. And that is when the record scratched. I was like, wait a fucking minute. That is not what's happening here. And I am so glad that I knew better. I am so glad that I had the extensive coaching training and experience that I have to know that this coach was dead wrong and had no business and no training to be talking to me about my trauma or to try to gaslight me into ignoring my intuition, which is actually a very dangerous thing to say to someone because our intuition should never be ignored. But what if I didn't know? What if I would have believed what the coach said to me? Because they have all of this experience helping women find a partner. Because they are, quote, famous on social media. Or worse, because I trusted this coach with my vulnerabilities. That would have been an even bigger mistake and even more detrimental. And see, the thing about the coaching industry is that it's not regulated. Anybody can call themselves a coach. Tons of coaches just copy off of each other when it comes to their tools and their strategies. And lots of coaches are coaching on shit that they have no business talking about, like trauma. And I know that a lot of people who are not in this industry or familiar with the underbelly of the coaching industry don't know about things like being trauma-informed. So they don't know to look for it. So I'm going to tell you exactly what to look for, because it pisses me off to think that people are being misled and re-traumatized by people who call themselves coaches without doing the necessary work to make sure they're working with integrity. If you've suffered any type of trauma, big T or little T, I urge you to keep this in mind when you hire your next coach, because our trauma will always come up in a coaching relationship. My trauma, and I have both big and little T, it comes up when I'm getting coached on my business, when I'm getting coached on my money, when I'm being coached on my finances, when I'm being coached on my mindset. Our trauma cannot be turned on and off. So it's important for those of us who have felt emotionally or physically unsafe to always feel safe and know that we will not get hurt or re-traumatized in a paid coaching container. So, what is a trauma-informed coach? I am a life coach who has been trained and certified to be trauma-informed. And what trauma-informed is actually a newer standard of operating within many of the helping professions. So now that you hear me talking about this, you're probably going to see it a lot more because of the reticular activating system. But specialty trauma-informed trainings and certifications are now readily available for teachers, nurses, police officers, corrections officers, caregivers, health coaches, medical professionals, and many, many more. Being trauma-informed simply allows the professional to recognize the prevalence of personal trauma in the histories and lives of the people they serve. What's the difference between a trauma-informed coach and a therapist? Therapists are the frontline workers of mental health care. They operate under a medical model of care, whereas coaches operate under a support model. Therapists work with and treat trauma. Trauma-informed coaches do not treat trauma. We are simply aware of all of the nuances of working with clients who have experienced trauma. Trauma-informed coaching is the practice of understanding the presence of past trauma in a client's present-day experience and how to use it as a guide for resilience and solution-forward coaching strategies. So a trauma-informed coach would have never said, "Ugh, girl, no, that's not your intuition telling you you made a mistake. That's just a trauma response. It's just used to you always wanting someone to change their mind about you." No, it was my fucking intuition telling me that I made a mistake. That even though my coach at the time had a very specific method for helping you find your person, that method was not appropriate for my situation. Sometimes people need therapy and a coach to support them in between sessions. I'd say around half of my clients also have a therapist, and we work as a team. I always let them know, hey, let me know if your therapist has you working on something that may interfere with the work that we're doing, because I want to make sure that that does not happen. Other times, clients have a baseline of working with the trauma but need further support to make positive changes in the present. And oftentimes, clients need a combination of methods, such as talk therapy, EMDR, life coaching, somatic experiencing. All of this is totally normal. In fact, I'm a huge believer in having multiple coaches and having multiple levels of support, because sometimes we just need it. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. And it doesn't mean that you're broken, because you're not. So here's what I do as a trauma-informed coach. Trauma-informed coaches anchor their work in the present, not the past. We focus on the client's current life and how trauma is affecting them today. Our aim is to utilize coaching strategies to help our clients build up their strengths, their belief system, and learn positive coping strategies instead of just trying to get rid of, quote, negative thoughts or beliefs or behaviors. As a trauma-informed coach, I serve as a guide, mentor, and support for my clients. I always operate in a client-led manner. I will never take my clients somewhere they don't want to go in our container, ever. What I don't do as a coach, I do not prescribe or give advice about any medication. I do not treat, diagnose, or assess my clients' mental health. And I do not work with clients outside of my scope of competence. For example, if a client is at risk of harming themselves or others, I cannot work with them. I will refer them out. And fortunately, I've only had one client that I have had to refer out because they were not in a place where coaching was going to help them. They needed mental health assistance. So I wanted to share this with you because I get so frustrated when I hear stories similar to mine where someone will have a bad experience with a coach or a therapist, and I have had bad experiences with both. This would be a much longer episode if I talked about all of the bad experiences that I've had with both coaches and therapists. But a lot of us have had experiences like this, and then we feel even more alone. Like if the people that we pay to help us can't even support us and can't hold a safe space for us, then where the fuck do we turn? Right? I know that feeling. And I would hate for anyone who's in the need of help and support to not get it because they've been burned before. So I just want you to remember, when you're looking to hire a coach or a therapist, ask them if they're trauma-informed. It's usually listed in our bio, on our website, on our About Me page, right? But if you don't see it, just ask them. Ask them about their level of training working with trauma. If you know that you've had trauma in your life, that will come up in a coaching container or in a therapy container, and you want to make sure that it is handled with the proper care. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, just click the link in the show notes below and let's hop on a call. That's all for today. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. To learn more about how to work with me, go to eva.fiz and click on the Work With Me button. While you're there, be sure to check out my free weight loss resources so that you can get a jump start on your journey. I'll see you there.